Here tonight at Clement Methodist Church. If you did not get a candle, they are located in the box right in the back. Also, the order of service, if you want to follow along, is located out in the Northex area there on the table. Everything will be on the screen as we come together and worship tonight. So we just ask that you just follow along on the screen. Let us join together in prayer this evening. Lord, we come before you this evening, the most holy of nights, a night that we prepare for the arrival of your Son to be born. The night we come, we celebrate what Mary and Joseph were preparing for those 9 months of their journey together, for their journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to get settled on this night, a night under the stars in an inn that was full that had to go out back to the stable, a night where it was chilly, a night in which they prepared to bring in your child, not with royalty, but with shepherds, with sheep and donkeys, with camels. Because you remind us, God, that you came to us as a human form, and you remind us, God, of how you use us the way that you used Mary and Joseph some 2,000 years ago. And so we come now, God, and present ourselves in this time of worship tonight to come and honor you in all that is said and done, to give thanks, to rejoice that your Son will be born and that we are redeemed to take that hope into the world. So be with us this evening now. In your name we pray, O Lord. Amen. Let us stand. You may be seated. As we continue to prepare for the coming of the Christ child, we will not only light all four candles of the Advent wreath tonight, but we will light the Christ candle as well. For this season of watching is over. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is the light of the world, and darkness cannot extinguish it. Oh, sing the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord in strength. Ascribe to the Lord due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor, and tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, O Lord is King. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. And then there were shepherds living in the flocks, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for you see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord." And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who he favors." And so we light the Christ candle tonight to remind us that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is born. This night we'll be going through the Christmas story and alternating that with hymns that'll be sung in our first scriptures for Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. And in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth in Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. He was registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. as we continue in the Gospel of Luke. In this same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by the night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find that baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, Jesus was called, name was given the angel before him, as he was conceived in the womb. Again, it's good to see all of you here tonight, and those that will be listening on our website this evening as well, as we all come together and partake of the Christmas story as we come and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Let us pray together. Lord, we come now and we ask, Lord, that you would allow us to fill your Spirit, fill this place, and that our attention would just be drawn to you this evening. We pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation in my heart, would be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. Amen. I don't know how many of you remember reading family circus cartoons. I love the family circus because there's a lot of applications to church life and church ministry sometimes with the questions that the kids present to the parents. And there was this one time in Family Circus that the little girl was standing up on a chair and there was an open drawer that her eyes caught. And behind her was the nativity scene. Everything was laid out. Everything was perfect. It was ready for Christmas and Christmas Eve. But then all of a sudden, that girl that was standing on the chair, looking down in the drawer, said, "Wait a second. We forgot to take baby Jesus out of the drawer. Christmas can't happen until baby Jesus comes out of the drawer." Well, I hope tonight as we come together and we're here to celebrate our Lord and Savior and his birth, that we didn't just open our drawers and take Jesus out of our drawer just for tonight. That I hope that each and every one of us, not just on Christmas Eve and not just getting ready for Christmas, that we have taken Jesus and put him on the throne of our lives. That when Christmas is over, that we don't just stick him back into that drawer, but that we keep him a part of our lives. For that is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the unordinary because there is nothing ordinary about Christmas. There is nothing ordinary about the Christmas story. There is nothing ordinary about the individuals who are in the Christmas story. And I don't know about you, but you know, if you and I could be there on that first Christmas, like if Christmas happened today, 2020, and Mary had Jesus, I wonder what that would look like today. Would we have like breaking news across CNN saying, "Mary just gave birth to Jesus"? What our Facebook feeds just blow up because all of a sudden pictures are being posted of this newborn child, the Messiah. Would Instagram be full of pictures of people that were at the end that are coming rushing out to see what this child looked like? No, probably not, I don't think. I don't think much probably would change if Jesus was born today versus when he was born some 2,000 years ago, because I think that we are so many times preoccupied with ourselves in life that it would have just been like anything else and overlooked, just like it was some 2,000 years ago. But there's something else that's overlooked in the Christmas story, and that is a very key individual. And that key individual is Caesar Augustus. You see, we talk about the shepherds and the wise men. We talk about the angels. We talk about the innkeeper. But you know, in any Christmas pageant I've ever seen, Caesar Augustus never makes an appearance. We kind of put him on the side like he didn't have anything to do with the Christmas story. But Caesar Augustus played a very important part in the Christmas story. I mean, think about it. Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the Roman Empire, the most powerful man that could say something on command and individuals would come running to him. He thought he was the king of the world as the Roman Empire ruled. And because of this divinity of his, he decided to issue this decree. This decree that the entire world needed to pay taxes to Rome. And so lo and behold, Caesar Augustus issues this decree. And all of a sudden now Mary and Joseph have to make their way to Bethlehem to pay this tax that Caesar decided to implement on individuals. It's interesting. Caesar Augustus had everything he wanted. He had all the power he wanted. He probably had all the money he wanted. There was really no reason for him to issue a decree to say, I need more money from you. But he did it. Why? It was a sign of control, a sign of power, a reminder of who is really your leader, who is really in authority. It was a reminder to all the Jewish people that they were still under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And as a result, he wanted to make that very clear to them. But as cunning as Caesar Augustus was, and as powerful as he was, Caesar was used by God to play a very important part in the Christmas story. But Caesar wasn't even aware of what he was doing. When he issued the decree, he had no idea that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. Now imagine what would happen if Caesar never issued that decree. Joseph and Mary might have stayed in Nazareth, and who knows how the Christmas story would have turned out if Caesar Augustus never had issued this decree. But unknowingly, Caesar Augustus was used by God to bring in the Christ child. He entered this decree in the census to everything, but the thing was is that he thought he was the one showing the world he was in power, but guess what? The joke was on him. Because by him issuing the decree, the most powerful king in the entire universe was born on that Christmas night, all because Caesar Augustus decided to flaunt his power over his subjects. Now, Nazareth is about 90 miles to Bethlehem. It is a very long journey, as I shared this past week. If you are on donkey and if you are pregnant with child, it's not a very comfortable 90-mile journey. There are no Motel 6s on the way. There's no Turkey Hills. There's no pizza or sub shops. There's no rest areas. It's just straight terrain, mountainous and desert terrain. What's interesting is Mary and Joseph had no idea themselves that they were about to fulfill that God's prophecy from the Old Testament was going to happen with the birth of Jesus. They were just following instructions. They were being obedient once again. Just like they were obedient when they were told they were going to have a child, they were obedient to follow through with that, and they were obedient even when they were called to go to Bethlehem. We find here that Caesar Augustus was an individual that we overlook, but an individual who kind of sets everything in motion for the Christmas story. You see, when you look at Caesar Augustus, you see an individual who had power, who probably was an individual who had the most beautiful robes, number of servants, an individual who basically was saying, come and pay homage to me with the taxes. But yet, what happens is, in Bethlehem on that Christmas night, in that little stable, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born. He was not born at a palace. He was not born with reception of servants coming to Mary and Joseph saying, how can we help you and wait on you? He was born in a stable, showing us how God doesn't come and use powerful people, but how God says that I want to use ordinary people like you and me. That he was born, and it's fascinating because he was born in a humble surrounding, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was born in a humble place of the stable. And as we come and we celebrate Christmas tomorrow, and we'll be around our Christmas trees, and we begin to exchange gifts and celebrate the gift-giving process of things, we forget that it all started with that child that was born. That it all started when Mary gave birth to Jesus of Nazareth because of that decree. That it was this humble birth that we come here tonight and we celebrate tomorrow. That we give gifts because it celebrates and remembers our Lord and Savior. We see that Jesus was born in a humble place. His parents were humble. And that individual who thought he had all the power in the world didn't know what was happening until almost a year later when the wise men came to visit him. But everybody else knew what was going on. The angels knew, the shepherds knew, and the wise men who were considered pagans because they worshiped the stars and were astrologers even knew that Jesus, the King of Kings, had been born. But with all the power in the world, Caesar Augustus still had no clue. Think about the shepherds that were in the field that night. They were in a field. It was cold out. It was dark out. I don't know about you, but I've walked in the sanctuary many times where the lights are out and you can't see a thing. Imagine being in Bethlehem where it's dark on the fields. And you're trying to keep track of sheep, and you're trying to stay warm. And all of a sudden, a bright light appears to you. I'd be afraid as well. But he gives the good news to the angels and tells them about Jesus being born and says, now go, go and find him. Now, why is it now that Jesus is born and the angels go to the shepherds? Why did the angels go to Caesar Augustus and say, Caesar, with all of your power, with all of the reputation you have, you can get the word out, so Caesar, go tell about the birth of Christ. Why did he go to shepherds? He went to shepherds because, again, he wanted to show his humility. But not only that, shepherds were individuals that traveled throughout the entire region of Jerusalem and Galilee, and they would share the good news of their encounter with everybody they came in contact with. In fact, today, the Israeli army actually uses shepherds as spies in their own territory between the Palestinian border and between where Jerusalem and they are because of the fact that shepherds get around and shepherds can recognize individual faces. So even to this day, the value of shepherds are still recognized by the Israeli army because of their importance of how they can get the news out to people and how they can recognize things. It's interesting here that the angel says, don't be afraid of them, but do not fear. It's okay. Go, see the child. It's interesting with their emotions of being afraid and startled that all of a sudden goes to the fact of they're excited, they're happy. that they want to find out more about this Christ child, that they want to go and see this Christ child, that the angels proclaim that message to them the way that the angels proclaim the message to us today, that a child is born, go and find him. You know, I think when we come on Christmas Eve here, I think we can find ourselves sometimes to be like Caesar Augustus. That we can say, well, look at us. We have everything we ever need. That as we begin to look for that perfect gift sometimes for that perfect person, whether it's our spouse, our kids, or a coworker, whoever it might be, that we make sure that, you know, we spend just enough money because we want to make sure it's Christmas and that we give the best gifts there are. And so many times we get caught up in our finances and our giving of gifts. We get caught up in all the things we have to do in life to get ready for Christmas. That we can be like Caesar Augustus with all the pomp and circumstance. And then when it's all over and said and done, we sit down and go, wow, that was it. Or we can be like the shepherds. We can be like the shepherds who left and they went to see the baby Jesus. And when they left from seeing Jesus, they continue to rejoice and glorify, continue to share the good news, and continue to tell of who Jesus was and what they had seen that night. You see, on this Christmas Eve, we can either be a Caesar Augustus, and we can go through the motions of Christmas and Christmas Eve, and we can say, yes, it's wonderful, we can celebrate it, but we really are not embracing that Christ child. Or we can be like the shepherds. And we can embrace that Christ child. And we can allow that Christ child to come in our life. And we can allow that Christ child to rule on our hearts. So that not just Christmas morning, but every single day, we can proclaim the good news that Christ has been born. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those his favor rest. I think it's interesting the angel said that, don't you? Glory to God in heaven and earth, peace to those his favor rest. As we come tonight on the grandest night of all creation, the grandest night of all that Jesus was born, do we find favor with God tonight? In which if an angel appeared here tonight, the angel would give us the same message. Peace on earth and peace to you because God's favor has rested upon you. As we go tonight and we go our separate ways and we begin to celebrate Christmas tonight and tomorrow, let us not just compact it in 2 days, but let us live every single day of our life hoping that an angel would appear to us and say, peace to you, because God has found favor upon you the way he found favor upon the shepherds. And when those angels appeared, it was a very quiet night. It was a night in which the shepherds thought it was just like every other night, in which they thought they were just going to go get their sheep taken care of, lay down, wake up the next morning, and go about their business. But a light shone in the darkness that night. And a light penetrated the darkness, reminding the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, Jesus has been born. So tonight, as we light our candles together, we come tonight and we celebrate that same message. Glory to God in the highest. The light has pierced the darkness. That as we come and we light our candles and we sing Silent Night together here, let us be reminded that Christ's light is bigger than any darkness, is brighter than any darkness, and will pierce anything in this world. That Christ's light is bigger than the coronavirus. That Christ's light is bigger than the rain that's happening outside. That is the light of the world. Christ, who penetrates the darkness and gives hope to the world. And that is why we come tonight. We come and we take that light and we embrace it in our lives. And we take that light from tonight into the world in which we live, proclaiming the good news to all who might hear. Glory to God in the highest. So tonight, as we come together in a moment that I think is one of the most beautiful moments on Christmas Eve, seeing how powerful light is. But not only that, seeing how powerful your testimony of that light in your life can be, the same way it was with the shepherds on that Christmas night. As the light of Christ has passed to you, we'll be singing Silent Night, and on the third verse of Silent Night, go our separate ways. Let us take the light of Christ with us, and let us proclaim joy to the world, that others might hear the good news, that others might come to know the Christ child, that others might celebrate and have hope the way we do. May you go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you. Merry Christmas.